Welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive, where we, well, you know, we take a deep dive into complex legal cases and break them down so you can actually use that information.
That's right.
And today's case is a fascinating one from Connecticut.
Yeah.
Thomas v. Primus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about that classic problem you see a lot in property law, a landlocked piece of property, but with a twist, an easement that wasn't actually written into the original agreement.
Right.
So this case really, I think, highlights how courts try to balance those property rights with the very practical need to actually use the land.
Yeah, and that's what's really interesting about this case is that, you know, it's not just about, you know, the legal ownership of the land, but the practical considerations about, you know, how do we make sure people can actually get to and use their property?
Right, right. So set the scene for us. What's the situation with this property?
So we're in Plainville, Connecticut, and we're dealing with two parcels of land that back in 1959 were part of a single lot owned by Martha Thomas. Now, Martha, she decided to divide the property, and she sold about an acre and a quarter, 1.25 acres, to Arthur Primus.
Right.
And by doing that, she sort of inadvertently created this landlocked situation.
I see.
Because the only way to get to Arthur Primus's property was through a passway across Martha's remaining land.
And this is what lawyers call an easement, right?
That's right.
So I'm guessing this passway, this easement wasn't actually, you know, included in the deed or anything.
You guessed right. It wasn't. So there was no official easement granted in the deed.
Okay. No. So interesting situation already. Now, fast forward a few years, actually quite a few years to 2008. And things have changed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what's going on now.
Well, the ownership of the properties have changed hands a little bit.
Okay.
So Bruno Primus, who is Arthur's brother, now owns that landlocked parcel.
Right.
Meanwhile, the property with the passway that was inherited by Martha Thomas's grandchildren.
Oh, got it.
We'll just call them the Thomases.
The Thomases. Okay, so now we've got a bit of a ticking time bomb here, right?
Right.
What happens next?
Well, the Thomases decided to sell their property in 2008.
Okay.
And as they were about to close the deal, Bruno Primus stepped in and he asserted his right to use that passway.
Of course he did.
Saying, hey, you know, I need this to get to my land.
Yeah.
Of course, this threw a wrench in the whole sale plan.
I bet it did.
And naturally, the Thomases, they disagreed.
Yeah.
They challenged his claim, and that's what led to the legal battle.
So this is where it gets really interesting, because on paper, there's no official easement.
Right.
But Bruno needs that passway.
He does.
How did the court handle this?
Well, the court had to look at the situation and decide whether they could grant Bruno an easement, even though it wasn't originally written into that deed.
Right.
And in this case, they did.
Hmm.
They applied the concept of easement by necessity, which basically says that if a property becomes unusable because it's landlocked due to a land division, the court can step in and grant that easement to make sure the landlocked property can be used.
That makes sense.
Huh.
It's all about making sure the property can be used. But how can the court just assume that an easement was intended? You know, it's not like they put anything in writing.
Yeah. And that's where things get a little more complex. So the court uses this idea of presumed intent.
Okay.
It's kind of a legal fiction in a way. It's a tool to try to reach a fair and practical outcome.
Mm, okay.
Even if there's no direct evidence that Martha and Arthur intended for there to be this easement, the law operates under this assumption that they wouldn't have wanted to make a piece of property completely useless.
Right. So they're saying, let's be real here, they probably didn't intend to create an island.
Exactly.
Right.
It's about making a decision that makes sense practically.
Right.
But of course, the Thomas family, they weren't going to give up that easily.
I bet they weren't. So what arguments did they bring to the table?
Well, their main argument was that Bruno took way too long to claim his right to the passway.
Okay.
They brought up the legal defense of lashes.
Lashes.
Which essentially means that there was an unreasonable delay in asserting a claim.
Okay.
It's kind of a use it or lose it principle for legal rights.
Got it.
So the Thomases were basically saying, look, Bruno's been ignoring his rights for decades. Why is he suddenly bringing this up now when it's convenient for him?
Right, when it messes up our sale.
Exactly.
Did that argument work?
No, it didn't.
Okay.
The court didn't buy it. They found that Bruno's delay was actually quite reasonable.
No.
Because he really didn't have a reason to assert his right until the Thomases tried to sell their property.
Right.
Potentially cutting off his access. Up until that point, he had been using the passway without any problems.
So it seems like the court really prioritized this practical aspect of Bruno being able to use his land,
mm-hmm.
even if the documents weren't clear.
Absolutely. They really focused on making sure the land could be used and enjoyed. And it's a good reminder that property law isn't just about the lines on a map, it's about how real people use their property.
Yeah, it's a good reminder for all of us that property law can be pretty complex.
It really can.
And maybe a good takeaway here, especially if you're thinking about buying or selling property, is
I think the biggest lesson here
yeah.
is document everything.
Right.
You know, if you have a property that you're buying that relies on being able to access a different piece of land, like for example, a path or driveway,
Right.
even if it's just, you know, an informal agreement, make sure you get it in writing.
Yeah.
Having that easement clearly defined and recorded it can really save you from a lot of potential headaches down the road.
Absolutely, because it seems like forgetting about those details can lead to these really messy situations decades later,
It really can.
like we see in this case. But something I'm curious about is, this idea of presumed intent that the court used. How do they figure out what the original parties would have wanted?
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like mind reading, right?
Yeah, it's not quite mind reading, but it does involve, you know, the court really digging into the specifics of the case.
Right.
They have to examine the context around that original transaction.
Okay.
So in this case, you know, they looked at things like the layout of the land, you know, the fact that this pathway already existed and, you know, the landlocked parcel had been used for so many years.
Right. So they're kind of putting the pieces together to try to figure out, what the intention was, most likely.
Yeah,
But
exactly.
what if, there was evidence that suggested that the parties didn't want to create an easement? Would that change things?
Well, that's where things can get even more tricky.
Right.
The court, in this case, they did acknowledge that presumed intent is a tool that's used to reach a fair and practical result. It's not, you know, a hard and fast rule.
Oh,
So
sure.
if there's really strong evidence that contradicts the presumed intent, then yeah, the court might decide differently.
I see. So there's some wiggle room there, depending on the details of the case, which
Exactly.
is why you always want to have a good lawyer on your side.
Absolutely. An experienced legal counsel is essential in these kinds of
For
disputes.
sure. Okay. So let's go back to that Lash's defense for a second. The court decided that Bruno didn't have to, assert his rights to that easement until his access was threatened.
Right.
But let's say the Thomases had done something to the pathway to, make it harder to use, like putting up a fence or planting trees or something.
Yeah.
Would Bruno have had a reason to take actions sooner in that case?
That's a great question, and it gets to the heart of what that latches defense is really about. You see, it's not just about the delay itself. It's about whether that delay actually caused harm to the other party.
I see.
So if the Thomases had taken steps to block Bruno's access to the pathway, then he might have had a better argument for saying, "Hey, I need to act now."
Right. He couldn't just sit on his rights. So it's all about knowing what your rights are and taking steps to protect them when you need to.
Absolutely.
It seems like Bruno kind of played it smart in this case.
He did.
He waited until his access was really in danger.
Yeah, he chose his moment well and it paid off.
Exactly. This whole case, I think, really highlights why it's so important to understand the history of a property.
Yeah.
There might be easements or other legal issues that aren't obvious just from looking at, the deed or a survey.
That's a great point. It's kind of like peeling back the layers of an onion.
Right.
There's often more going on than you might think. That's
Right.
why it's crucial to have a good grasp of property law and to carefully review all the relevant documents.
Definitely. Okay, before we move on from Thomas v. Primus, I wanted to touch on something you mentioned earlier, easement by implication. How is that different from easement by necessity?
Sure. So an easement by implication, you know, it comes up even if it's not written in the deed. But it's clear from, you know, all the circumstances surrounding the sale that both parties intended there to be an easement.
Okay.
So, for example, let's say a seller is showing a buyer a property, and there's a path that leads to a lake that's on a separate piece of land. If that seller suggests that, you know, the buyer would have access to that lake,
Yeah.
then the court might find that there's an implied easement, even though it wasn't written down.
So it's more about, what was understood between the two parties,
Right.
even if it wasn't like officially documented.
Exactly. And the key difference from an easement by necessity is that the property doesn't have to be completely landlocked.
Oh, okay.
This type of easement can arise even if there is another way to get to the property. It just might be much less convenient.
So it's like easement by necessity is the, the emergency exit only when there's absolutely no other way to access the property.
Right.
And easement by implication is more about honoring what the agreement was, even if it wasn't, spelled out in black and white.
That's a great way to put it. It's all about fairness and making sure that everyone's reasonable expectations are met.
Right.
Even if the paperwork isn't perfect.
Right. This whole idea of balancing the, you know, the strict legal terms with the practical reality of how people are using their property.
Yeah.
It seems like a theme that pops up a lot in these cases.
It really does. You're right.
Yeah.
And I think cases like Thomas v. Primus give us some valuable insight into how courts handle these complex situations.
Yeah.
They're always looking for that balance.
Trying to find solutions that make sense.
Exactly.
You know, it seems like every time we dig into property law,
yeah,
we find even more complexities.
It's true. Property law is just full of these fascinating areas where history and the practicality of, you know, using your property and all the legal principles all kind of come crashing together.
Yeah. Like, we have to be historians and detectives all at the same time.
Exactly.
So if there's one piece of advice that our listeners could take away from this deep dive into easements and landlocked properties, mm-hmm. what would it be?
I would say be proactive. When it comes to property rights, don't just assume things.
Yeah.
Get everything in writing.
Mm-hmm.
Be really thorough with your documentation. And if you have any doubts at all,
yeah,
talk to a real estate attorney.
Yeah.
Someone with experience. It's always better to be safe than sorry.
Absolutely. Great advice. I think that'll save people a lot of headaches down the line.
I hope so.
Any final thoughts for our listeners as we wrap up our deep dive into Thomas v. Primus?
Well, this case really shows how courts try to balance the, you know, the letter of the law with how things work in reality.
Right.
It also highlights just how important easements are, even those that aren't explicitly stated, to make sure that property can be used and enjoyed.
Yeah. Well, this has been a really fascinating discussion.
It has.
It's amazing how a simple concept like an easement can lead to these really complex legal issues.
Absolutely. It's a good reminder that property law is always evolving.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us today on The Deep Dive.
Of course, it's been a pleasure.
We hope you learned something about easements, landlocked properties, and why it's so important to have clear documentation.
Absolutely.
And until next time, happy digging, everyone.